This message I struggled with as far as, thought I've hit on this once or twice and different variations, so we're coming back to it. If you see a note somewhere that you've taken and say, well, he hit on that, I know it, and I couldn't help it because I looked at other things and studied other stuff, and then the Lord just kept bringing me back like, no. So I thought, okay, who is it out here that is not getting it? Get it today so I can move on to something else. So, here it is. And I just titled it, Choosing When. Just choosing when. Making the right choices as to when to do or not do certain things. Hopefully this will hit some issues. It'll hit some issues, all right. I just hope I survive this. But we want to read in 1 Timothy, I'm using the New King James Version. You notice I use the New Living Translation a lot because it reads better for us. But for this particular passage, the New King James, for me, just seemed to read better. And I'll give you, so we'll have a little background. We have a young pastor, very young, and he's timid. He's actually, timid Timothy. So we're over in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. But Timothy was young, starting out. He wasn't experienced. Paul was the old experienced missionary, church planter here. He just, he had it together, and you have to start somewhere, and Timothy was put in the ministry and called to it. But he was struggling with some issues. If you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you get a tremendous insight into the battles, and certainly as you're growing in your Christianity, you should read 1 and 2 Timothy, because it's a lot of doctrinal stuff, and it's just a lot of practical things in there for all of us. The Word of God is not intended like it was addressed in to Timothy, but it's not in our Bible to be a letter that's exclusive of all the rest of us, because it includes us all. Everything written in there is for everybody. So there's a young pastor, and he's kind of getting knocked about. They're whacking him upside the head pretty hard. He's taking some hits as a pastor of his church. And so God, through Paul, wrote a letter that's for all of us for all time. And he said, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This message is not on the love of money today. But I wanted to give you that background text because to get us into what we want to look at today. And he says, because he was having problems with some people who had money, who wanted to tell him what to do. They wanted to buy the young pastor. That man, and if that sounds weird to you, it happens everywhere. And and people that want to, they'll offer you money, and I'll give you this money, and as it ever happened to me, it has in other churches. I've got so much money, I'll give this church, that's the way it's put, and all I ask is that you blah, 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 or get rid of blah, blah, blah. And I actually had this presented one time. I will, a lot of money, but I want you to get rid of a certain individual or two I don't like, if you take for this money. And of course, being the stubborn, hard-headed guy from where I come from, I said, don't think so. And I didn't get the money. Okay, so church didn't get the money. But that actually happened, and it's happened to everybody. So he's having trouble with that. And so Paul, in writing this, here's what he says. He says, you old man, but that's the way it's written in the New King James, but it's you, whoever, you people of God, flee these things. He said, don't get caught up in the love of stuff and all that junk. It's not money that's bad anyway. It's the love of it. I pray for every one of you to be extremely wealthy and not love it. And if all of you will win the lotteries and all these things and get very wealthy, I will personally see to it that a new tithe box is built. And I'll decorate it for you. We'll even put chutes out here where you can put those little tubes like at the bank and just send it right in. And so I'll do all that for you anything, whatever it takes. But he says, you, O man of God, flee these things. Woman of God, man of God, child of God, flee these things. Don't get, what things? getting caught up in the world and its wealth and wanting, gotta have, and all the stuff. And he said, don't love all those things. But he said, here's what I want you to do. It's for all of us. We're all ministers. Some young, some older, some in between. And he says, flee these things and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Let that sink in. And he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on, which means pursue. When you look in the Greek, that lay hold on term that's used here literally means pursue your eternal life. What does that mean? Stay with it. Don't take your eternal life for granted. That doesn't mean you're going to lose it. He's saying, stay with what you're called. You got all excited and God gives you eternal life when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sins. You confess them, you repent of them. Jesus' blood cleanses you. And he said, stay with that. Pursue it. Don't just assume that it's a one-time deal. Yes, salvation, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what about living a righteous life and pursuing, your salvation in that, letting it live itself out through you? And he said, pursue that. Pursue the growth in God so you can become who God put you here to be. And he said, fight your good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, pursue it, to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He said, many people witnessed your conversion, you're coming to Christ, you're being called to the ministry. And he said, just pursue this and stay with it. I'd read more, but you can read the rest of it because that's enough for us to grab onto today. And so in looking at this, and it's like he said, so flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, and fight the good fight of faith. And so it's like, okay, so what is he saying here with all this money thing or the love for it? The love for it's what causes evil, all kinds of evil. And then it just began to merge, and it's like choosing when. Choosing when to do certain things and when not to do certain things. He said, you've got to pursue, go after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience, gentleness, and fight the good fight of faith. So let's talk about this fighting and doing what we're supposed to do. And let me just jump at you. Say, you're kind of hedging here, aren't you? Yeah, because this is a mailbox reader type deal. I want to address something before I go any further. Once in a while, you get asked different questions in the ministry. This one's not offensive, but I sure want to address it. I have been asked once in a while, do you ever prepare a message to point at a certain person? No. No. I try real hard to never, ever do that. Now, if you ask me, Pastor, being really human, do you ever want to prepare a message to point at a certain person? Only about 27 times a week, I think of, boy, I could bring that one. Stuff will happen, and in a pastor's mind, when somebody's rude or they do this or whatever happens out and about, in a pastor's mind, it's what we say? We don't say, oh, I want to get even. We say, oh, that's good preaching material. There's a good illustration. Boy, I can use you today. So do I ever want to? Oh, yeah, constant temptation to do that. But you get into the Word, and the Lord just won't let that happen. But are there times I know that God is getting personal and pointing? Yeah, and a message like this, it's like, okay. And so I don't know who he's speaking to, all of us, but here it is. There's a time to do if you're going to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience, and gentleness, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to give God your pride and your ego. And your defensiveness. You're going to have to put self on the back burner and say, okay, if I'm going to be a pursuer of righteousness, then I can't be angry and mad and ticked off at people all the time. I can't be saying, it's about me. And I'm going to have to take my carnal pride and my carnal ego and surrender it to God. You cannot be, listen to me, you cannot be a truly righteous person and be filled, you know, full of pride? Doesn't work. Is there a healthy pride? Yeah. I hope you take pride in what you do and who you are. I take pride in God. I'm proud to be a Christian. I better be, Heather. If I'm not, I better get out of this work. This calling. I'm proud to do what I do. But there's a carnal pride. And that's what gets you in trouble in these heated arguments and losing your temper. And backbiting and doing all this stuff and snipping over your shoulder. I know none of you do this. This is for you to help others at other churches that you meet. You never lose your temper and you don't have an ego. Nobody in here has an ego problem, do they? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. And nobody's self-protective, self-really defensive, are you? No. But you know people who are. And so you can help them with this. And there's a time, there's just a time and choose, you got to choose to say, you know what, this is just not worth it. This just isn't worth it. There's a time just to choose, you know, when something's put on you and there's a time when stuff's happening and you just say, it's not worth it. But there's also a time, listen to me, there's also a time to choose to fight. And I don't mean with your fist. But you have to learn, you have to know and be discerning in the Holy Spirit and use God's wisdom to know when you need to take a stand, be silent, walk away, wait for another day, or to fight. Paul, this is not the only place where Paul sends word to Timothy that, you know, and he says right here, fight the good fight of faith. He said, don't let them walk on your faith. Don't let them steal what you have. You got to stand up, son. And know what to, when it's worth it to fight and when it's not. So let me give you this. You got to know when it's, you got to know when to choose to take action. In my counseling work, which you know I do quite a bit of, there's times I tell people, you need to take action and take action now. Don't let them hit you one more time. If you do, you're just as bad as they are. You're dysfunctional, and you don't need to take this abuse. And if you say, Tony, do you ever recommend people separate in relationships? Yes, I do. Do I tell them to divorce? No. But I definitely will, especially when it's becoming abusive, tell someone you need to get apart. And we need to work on this. If you're willing to work on it, let's work on it. And we can see if we can repair this and God put this back together. But get away from each other. I've had to do that with business partners. And I was like, you two need to work in separate places for a while. You know, just, you know, send a text, an email. Don't talk to each other. Agree that you're not going to do it because every time you do, you fight. There is a time to choose to take action and to confront. Friends, listen to me. When you watch the life of Jesus Christ, and I'm sorry, but he's been portrayed way too long for centuries as this weak little guy who just took all this abuse. And when people insulted him, you can read over in 1 Peter, it says he didn't insult in return. He didn't do that. But did Jesus ever let a Pharisee get away with hypocrisy? He called them out on it every time. Did they get away with picking on his disciples? No, they didn't. Who was Jesus the toughest on? Think about it. Who was he toughest with? Pharisees. Who were they? Religious people who refused to accept. The people I've had to get the roughest with in my life, believe it or not, you know, of all the experiences and places out there in the military and all this and that, the folks I've had to be roughest with are religious people who do not want to be really Christian. Haven't you? They want to judge everybody, tell everybody else what to do, quote a bunch of scriptures to them, and sometimes It's like, have you ever gotten really that antagonistic? Oh, yeah, I've told a few people, and I'm not proud of it, but I have, you know? And I got it from my dad, but have I ever said this to a few religious people? Yes, don't go do this, okay? This is, I'm, I, I share with you my thoughts and feelings, but I have done it. I have told a few people, I wish I could buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth. It's like, you have said that? Yes, I have. And it's mostly been religious people. You know, I heard an old sergeant say this one time, and I've quoted it, but I heard a sergeant got really mad at a private. He did something really dumb. And I was standing there as a lieutenant, and I saw this, and you know, I didn't jump in. Oh, let your sergeants handle all this stuff, right? And he looked at that private, and he said, "Son, if your brains were gasoline, they could not drive an ant's motorcycle around the inside of a Cheerio." I just walked away. I thought, well, I think he took care of that. And there's times that I have quoted that. and then literally said to some Pharisees, I just twisted it around. If your spiritual knowledge was gasoline, I've used the same expression. And of course, do they like that? No, they don't. I'm not saying to go out and do that, but I'm saying this. There is a time to choose when to take action and to confront. And physical abuse is one of them. When somebody is really messing and around and hurting another Christian's life, there's a time to take action. If you're in the presence of someone who's abusing another person, you're watching that abuse, there's a time to say, now is the when. I'm choosing when, and it's now. I'm here, and God put me here, not to get in some fist fight, but I must say something here. I'm not going to let them continue to do what they're doing. Because if I let it go, they're saying, if I stand here and they know I've heard this, watched it or whatever, and I don't do anything, I don't intercede, then they're saying I'm condoning this, and that just empowers them to do more. I know this is touchy, but friends, that's what he was telling this young guy. You're going to have to flee all these love for the world, and you're going to have to pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. And we look at Jesus and we just say, oh, he just tiptoed around in his little sandals. That's not the guy I see going into that outer temple and turning over the tables and chairs and setting them straight. He drove them out because they were ripping off people. They were selling inferior sacrificial animals and birds that poor people, you know, they could buy them out there to offer the sacrifice, and they were just ripping them off. And they were cheating God with this. And Jesus came in there. That's why he kicked all that over. They were there to sell to the people that couldn't afford anything, you know, a couple of doves or whatever, and they could go offer that as their offering, and God accepted that, They charged them every bit they could get out of it. They weren't doing anything right. They were using God's house to rip people off. They made it a den of thieves, and that's why Jesus said that. And he kicked over the tables and chairs and ran them out. There's a time, friends, listen to me. There's a time to choose to kick over a few tables and chairs. But it must be when God is being insulted. And when God's people are being abused. You follow me here? It has nothing to do with pride or ego or self-defensiveness. It has to do with God and God's people. And I get pretty ornery when I see God's people being abused. And I'm not here to put up with that. I can't do that. And, you know, it's not on hearsay. I won't act on, don't ever act on hearsay, rumors. If you're witnessing it and you see it and you know it, what are you going to do? There's a time, listen, there's a time to go face that lion in his den. If there's somebody that's just attacking and attacking and they just keep messing with you, when are you going to confront it? When are you going to say, you know what? I love you in the Lord, but I don't love what you're doing. And I don't appreciate every time I'm around you doing everything you can to insult God use his name in vain, and you're doing it to hurt everybody that believes. Now, we're not attacking your unbelief, so you can knock it off attacking our belief. You say, whoa, Tony, hey. You say, this is a little out of character here. Sure is. But there's a time to face the lion in his den, and there's a time to battle with the enemy. There's a time to stand up in your spiritual life and say, in Jesus' name, Satan, I will not take this guilt, these accusations, all this stuff that you're doing to me, and in the authority of Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Get out of my life. That's spiritual warfare. You need to do that. The enemy, some of you are suffering with false guilt. You've confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed, and you still feel guilty. Why? Is that from God? When we confess our sins to the Lord, what does it say over in 1 John? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as Jesus in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So if you're still feeling guilty, that's not God. And you rebuke that. And you say to whatever it is, in Jesus' name, I refuse to receive that. I refuse it. I'm not going to surrender. If the doctor tells you something bad about yourself, you stand there in Jesus' name, I refuse to receive. I'm not going to give in to it. Jesus Christ is the great physician. He's my healer. He's my God. He's the one that determines. Really? We're listening to too much trash. We believe too much trash. Everything in the world around us is mostly everything is negative, negative, negative. Is it not? Well, God needs positive. He wants positive. He wants, and what is that? People of faith, like He's telling us to be. Godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. So He wants us to go out and counter that with faith when people say to you, oh, you know, this country's just going down the tubes. We're done. We're lost. Well, we may be, but I'm not going to give in yet. I'm still going to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And take my stand and do what I got to do. There's a time to choose to fight. I will say this to you. You know I steer away as much as possible from politics, but all I'll say is this. There is a tremendous move, friends, for socialism to be the prevailing thing, religion of this country. It's socialism. And friends, there's two things that will never work together. You know what they are? Democracy and socialism don't work. Choose one or the other. If you're going to be a socialist, then you're going to be in a dictatorship. And if you're going to be a democracy, then you must renounce socialism. That's the way it is. Now, it's about as political as I'm going to get. And I'll pass out cards in a couple of weeks when I run for office. So there you go. If somebody's messing with your family, your friends, your church, then you fight for what is right. And I want to put this little thought in there for you to think about and pray about. We're called to be peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He did not say, blessed are the pacifists. And sometimes to maintain peace, you just might have to do a little warring. A little fighting to get there. Okay, that's about as rough as I need to get today. You say, has somebody riled you up today, this week? No, God just put this in my heart. It's like, my people need to know to fight. And what to fight for. But fighting over your pride and your ego, hear me. That's not what God said to fight for. I've seen more guys get into it over an ego thing. Have you? Ladies, y'all don't ever get into it over ego or pride, do you? That's a guy thing, right? Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, I see. Hmm. All right, let me give this other point. There's a time to choose to stand tall. Ephesians, you won't have this, but you can jot this down if you want. In Ephesians 6, another chapter 6. In Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God." You know this passage, so read it again when you get a chance. "That you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil," all the tactics of the enemy. "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand." To stand on what? The Word of God. Take a stand. God says this. I'm not moving from it. If it's in His Word, that's in His Word. There is a kind of a social movement, and has been for a decade or more, two decades, in Christianity, in churches. You know what it's called? Tolerance. Well, we're supposed to love everybody, but I am not supposed to tolerate their blasted sins. You with me? Love everybody. But there's something, listen, this tolerance thing. These people that preach this tolerance, and there's pastors right this morning preaching tolerance. Well, how tolerant are you, pastor, if you walk out there and your Porsche is gone? Just how tolerant then are you going to be? Can you imagine? You almost want to go to one of those places and take their car and hide it somewhere. And watch them when they come out. Put them on film and see how tolerant they are. Oh, well, I guess somebody needed it more than me. What do you think? You think there's tolerance then? You see, we tend to be tolerant when it's somebody else that's getting messed around. You ever notice that? There are a lot of politicians that way, aren't they? Tolerance until it comes to them. Anyway, there's a time to know what's right, what God says is right, and just do what's right. Everybody with me? Even if those around you are saying it's wrong. Know the Word of God and do what God says, and that's the right thing to do. There's a time just to stand there in the strength of presence. Standing on God's Word. No argument, no discussion. To speak the Word and stand on it and let the Spirit of God prevail. Friends, listen to me. Many a battle has been won in Christianity with people saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and that's where I stand. Not arguing, not fighting, I'm standing. And I'm not backing up. You know where all this came from with Paul? You know he was very much into watching Roman soldiers. He liked the Roman battle tactics and all their armor. He was talking about those shoes, boots that they wore. They weren't shoes, and they had cleats, like spikes. And they could dig those in, and they could put those shields forward and interlock them. Then others could put shields over them. Arrows fired in the air to drop down, couldn't get them. And then they could stab around those shields, lock them back. What he's saying here, what he's trying to get us to understand, is there's a time. You got to know when to lock shields, church, and stand together as a church and not let anything get past your shields of faith. Many churches get divided and stuff happens because the church doesn't lock up and stand dug in. And thus saith the Lord. We're a really open, accepting place. You come in here broken, seeking the Lord, we want you to find Him. But if you come in here and say, "I want to change you, and y'all are going to accept this, and we're going to be..." No, we're not. Don't even think about it. We're going to stand here and lock up our shields. We're here for God to change others, not for others to change us. Everybody with me? Is this too mean? If it is, I'll lighten up, okay? It's really a... Yeah, this is hard for me. And then, okay, is everybody ready for me to meddle? Yeah, you're not either, but I'll do it. Friends, in this pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and I'm going to hit this patience and gentleness thing. I'm laughing because you have to choose when not to say it. I've hit this once or twice, but you have to choose when not to say anything. In 2 Timothy, he says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Do you want to keep a good relationship with someone? Everybody's afraid I'm going to meddle. Nobody wants to respond to anything now. I mean, we all do, right? You're thinking about it. Did you know, we all do. We want to have a good relationship with each other and with people. Did you know what one of the prime requisites to having a good relationship is? No one to put a cork in it. Friends, if you have a loose tongue, a fiery tongue, then fire gets in the relationship and you'll never, ever, ever keep it. People may hang around you, but they won't really like hanging around you. If there's anything from my family, and nothing, I love my family's good people, but one thing that I've had continually to ask God to do is, Lord, take temper. There's a feller back there that went to school with me all 12 years, and he knows my family, and if anything's ever gotten them in trouble, it's their blasted temper. That German temper, and this guy probably remembered, I don't know if you do, Tom, when my Uncle Ed got in a fight with the guy at the post office, and they arrest him on his road grader on the way back to work, yeah. So, you know the old post office that was, the old post office that was on the side of town. And Uncle Ed walks in there, and I've told you this story. Some of you might not have heard it. And he was mad at this guy, and he just walked in there, and the guy was getting his mail. And when he turned around, Ed just punched him. Just bam. And they get a knockdown, drag out. And if you're going to fight, don't do it in a federal post office. Just don't do that. But they did. And they finally got outside and were knocked down, drag out fight out there on the parking lot. And your mom used to work at the post office. So that was the Grayford battle. The post office fight. And he worked for the county, got on his road grader. He parked it over there because he saw the guys pick up. Got on his road grader, started driving off, and they, somewhere down the road, they arrested him. Took Uncle to jail. Many a time, Uncle and I talked about that. We used to go up and sit and talk, and we'd talk about the temper and stuff that's caused our family so many problems, and it has caused many a problem. And I've had to ask God to diffuse that temper, take away my temper. There's things in your life, all of us, that we need to ask God to take away, which your ego, your pride, all leads to temper. Losing your temper. And when you start losing your temper and you lose your tongue, I can guarantee you this, I promise you this will happen. If you lose your temper, you lose your tongue, you'll lose your friends. You'll lose your marriage. A person may live with you, but they're not happily living with you. I want to say this because I counsel with it and deal with it constantly. Here's something very, very important. Every Christian needs a godly filter to think about what they're going to say before they say it. Here's a question to ask yourself. Does the world really stand in anticipation of my opinions? How many fights amongst people are not over the Word of God? They're not over fact, but they're over opinions. True? This is very silent this morning. I told you they'd do that. Silence can diffuse anger. Scripture tells us that a gentle word will turn away wrath. I remember we talking, and I received a real illustration from this guy sitting up here. Because he told me when somebody's in his face, he just stands there. And I thought, boy, you've got it. You've got it figured out. What can you say to someone who doesn't say back? Eventually, they're just going to blow out, right? And I thought, what a lesson. Wisdom. And I thought about it and thought about it. I said, Tony, yeah, that's the way to go. Listen, silence can diffuse anger. It can keep you from saying something you'll regret. It can prevent you having a really bad day. Why do we feel compelled to say anything we think and think the other person wants to receive it? And why do we think others need all of our opinions? And there are just times to just not say it. Do you think there were times in Jesus' life that he kept silent? Didn't say? Sure. Were there times he just looked at people and it changed everything? Yes. And I want to close with this, and I bet you've been waiting for that one, haven't you? Me too. Choose when to trust God and walk away. Choose when to trust God and walk away. Back in the old days, did we ever have to call off a mission? Did we have to call off what we were doing? Yes. Did we ever send in a recon team and that recon team brought back a word and we were planning for, you know, the higher ups, planning the brass, we're planning for an operation. And the recon team infiltrates, goes in, looks it over and brings back this report. It's not what we thought. Intel was bad. This is not going to work. They're dug in on that place. We're going to need a lot more. We got to call off this op. And then, of course, everybody upstairs is mad and blah, blah, blah. And it all goes into chaos, but it saves a lot of lives. Friends, there's a time to do your spiritual recon and call off your mission. There's a time to choose to wait for another day. Everybody with me? When you're mad, when your temper is right there, when your little temper jar is just at the top, call off the mission. Call it off. Don't say it. Don't do it. Sit back and give God control, because God's not in control and I'm just ready to have a real, we used to call them a real tizzy. Where we come from, you're having a spell. And Psalms 37 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for God. Listen to me. Listen to God. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I want to give you this one example. Why that I guess God is just, and I know I'm hitting this really, really kind of hard. This is not my usual message, as you know. I had a lady and her husband, and they were talking to me. And I just couldn't work through what is wrong with her. Finally got down, and here's what it was. She thought she'd lost her salvation because a well-meaning pastor told her that the reason that she was depressed was because she was demon-possessed. And she finally looked me in the eye and she said, Tony, do I have demons? It's like, huh? She said, well, and she told me his name. Told me that when you're depressed, demons are possessing you. I wanted to go find that guy because I thought, how many people have you told this to? How many people right now are thinking that they are not saved because they're depressed? Do you think I want to tell him to put a cork in it? Do you think I want to help him insert that cork? Let me tell you something, friends. I've worked with a lot of people, and so have you, that have been so damaged by others. What did God first have to say to me in my heart? I sensed it. Don't get mad. She needs help. She needs God. You don't need to go wanting to rip. And so it took us meeting for weeks, all of us together, to get through to the point to where she finally understood that the greatest of Christians suffer depression at times. Christians go through stuff. Christians hurt. Christians get down. And it's not because there's a demon. It's because life is real. And it hurts. It's because we love people and we lose them. It's because we had hopes and we're disappointed. It's because our metabolism changes. It's because of a lot of things, but not demons. And to be sent to the bone pile, actually, I've even gone to a psychiatrist, got a bunch of medication, because they're terrified. And it's like, God, you know, the hurt. You know, just listen to me. I had to choose to wait for another day. Did I ever eventually get to confront this? Yes. But not that day. And not when you're mad. You've got to wait on the right timing. So let me close with this. If you choose to remain silent, you choose to wait and trust God and walk away, it'll keep these things from happening. You won't walk into the devil's ambush. The enemy sets us up and he wants us to be upset. He wants us to be angry. He wants us to lose control so that we walk into his trap and we ruin our reputation and we just mess up our witness. We hurt a bunch of people. Don't fall for the same old thing over and over. Is there anybody in your life that just wants to push you and push you and push you until you blow up? Does anybody know anybody like that? Husbands and wives, quit pointing at each other. Okay. Military tactic. You need to do this with life. And listen to this. If the enemy's already set, you better change your tactics. Throw him off balance. If you know someone's waiting for it, they're setting you up, they're pushing you to get you to do something, change tactics. Can I give you this in closing? Second closing. We're close. Learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh at the situation. And learn to laugh not at, but with others. Friends, I can give you this, and I really encourage you to do it for your sake and for God's reputation. Find humor. Find humor. Find humor. If you can find something to laugh at in nearly any situation. Learn to pick those battles and ask yourself this question. Is it really worth it? Am I defending someone or just my pride? And give it some thought. And do this. Determine in your heart that regardless, I'm going to choose to do the right thing no matter what. Whether that's to fight, whether that's to take a stand, whether that's to remain silent, or whether it's to walk away, I'm going to be a chooser of doing what God says is the right thing, and right will come from it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for forgiving us our sins. God, put in our hearts. I know this is kind of a tough one. This is a meddling, worrisome type thing. But, God, get our attention with it. That we can walk out of here knowing that the right thing is the right thing and it's the best thing because it honors God. Put in our hearts the love for you with all of our heart and our soul, our mind, our strength, and love for each other and our neighbors, ourselves. And put in our hearts the rightness of your word that always in everything we'll do the right thing. In Jesus' name, amen.